The new poll shows a majority of France had already grown weary of sanctions on Russia by the twilight of summer. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Ata, the host of this program. I have a very special guest speakers for today's discussion, Dr. Hojatul Islam Karimi from the Islamic Seminary of Qom. Dr. Karimi, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the show.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Okay, Sheikh Karimi, the main question for today's episode of the program Question and Islamic Beliefs is regarding the Holy Quran. We know the most outstanding miracle of Prophet Muhammad and the religion of Islam, the text of the Holy Quran, which is the book, is considered the book of the guidance for the people, you know, and the Muslims are benefiting from it for the guidance that they took from the Holy Quran in their life. Now, the question is, is the Holy Quran and the text of the Holy Quran enough for a Muslim to be guided into the right path and to the right path of the religion of Islam or not?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the early Islam, after the demise of the Prophet, we had a group of Muslims who claimed that Hasbuna Kitabullah, the Book of God, that is the Quran, is enough for us, meaning that we do not need the narrations of the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family. And that is why we have the event of the ban for writing down the narrations of the Prophet, of course, for Sunnis, and of course Shia, began to write down the narrations. They did not pay that much attention to this ban. But anyway, later, after about 100 years, they also came to know that this is not a good way, and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz removed this ban and the rest of the story. And in our time, too, we have some movements. For example, we have Quranism, Quranists who claim that, again, Quran is enough for us. We need to reject all the narrations. We are not in need of the narrations. So first of all, let's go to the Quran and ask the Quran whether Quran is enough or we are in need of the narrations, too. According to the Noble Book of Quran, one of the duties of the Prophet is to explain the verses of the Quran. Definitely. Now, here there is a kind of dilemma. Does it mean that we are not able to understand the Quran? No, we do not claim that. Any person, when they take the Quran, the Noble Book of Quran, and they recite the verses, they can have a kind of understanding of the verses. But the point is that in some cases, especially in Mutashabahat, the ambiguous verses, we are in need of the Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet, the Infallibles, to explain the verses. And for Muhkamat, for the clear verses, for more profound understanding, we are in need of the Infallibles. In chapter Ali Imran, verse 164, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah has favored the faithful people when He raised up among them a prophet, yatlu alayhim ayatih. One of the duties of this prophet, that is Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his family, is to recite the Quran, to purify them, and yu'allimuhum al-kitab wal-hikmah. This is the Noble Book of Quran. To teach them the book and wisdom. Now, those people who claim that Quran is enough for us, the same Quran is telling us that it is one of the duties of the prophet is to teach you the Quran, which refer to the fact that for understanding the Quran properly and with all the deeper layers of the meanings, you are in need of the Prophet.
Okay.
So the Holy Prophet was not just a postman, just to come to us and give us this book and just then go. No, one of his duties, as I mentioned, is to let us know about the real and profound meanings of the verses of the Noble Book of Quran. And according to the same Quran, the Holy Prophet is a role model for us. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا.
That's right.
And also, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا لِيُطَاعَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. We did not send any prophet but to be obeyed by Allah's leave.
Okay.
And according again to the Noble Book of Quran, To follow the Prophet means to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we need to obey the Prophet and his sayings. And the same Quran says that مَا يَنْتُقَ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever the Holy Prophet is telling you, it is a kind of revelation, meaning that it is free from any kind of mistake.
That's right.
So,
so all in all, we could say that the Quran, since it is a miracle, it is deep layered, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's need its own commentators, interpreters, exegesis of the Holy Quran, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the superficial look at the ayahs of the Holy Quran might be very much useful, but if you want to get into, as they say, 70 batn or the layers, deep layers of the Holy Quran and the ayat of the Quran, for sure, you need a kind of high knowledge, supreme knowledge.
Yeah. So my first point was that the Noble Book of Quran itself says that we have revealed this book so that the Prophet do tabyin, explanation of the verses.
Yes.
Which is a kind of, for mutashabihat, which is a kind of interpretation of the Quran, and for muhkamat is a kind of going to deeper layers of the meanings. So those people who claim that the Noble Book of Quran is enough for us, they are rejecting the same Quran, because the same Quran is asking the Muslims to refer to the Prophet for proper understanding of the verses.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
But now the question is again this: why the Holy Quran was not revealed in a way that does not need any interpreter or exegete? I mean, couldn't it be, for example, since it is called Kitab al-Mubin too, isn't it? Mubin means easy to understand, isn't it? So from one side we have such explanation about the Holy Quran, but from the other side we say it's need exegete. Why?
That's a very good question. There are a couple of points here. We are talking about a book and a divine book. Why we believe that we are in need of the infallibles as the interpreters of the Quran? One point is the fact that we have sublime teachings, but the words are limited. And this is a reality. The Quran has brought the main teachings which are needed for the guidance of the human beings, but the Quran is in need of the words that we human beings use, and they are very limited. So a book, even sublime book like the Quran, needs to use the same words. The Quran is limited to the same words. And these words are not able to convey all the messages. So for some cases, we are in need of the interpreters, I mean the infallibles, to come and explain the verses. So, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Noble Book of Quran talks about some realities, about revelation, about the Day of Judgment, about Arsh, the throne, about Kursi, and so on and so forth. So all these sublime teachings are put into limited words that we have. So it's not a shortcoming for the Noble Book of Quran. It is because of the fact that the words are limited. Now, this limitness, this limit is removed by the interpretation of the Ahlul Bayt, alayhi wasalam. The other point is that, as I mentioned, the Quran is a kitabun mubin and is a book of guidance. But we have so many Quranic and Islamic and religious teachings that if the Quran wanted to cover all of them, then we had, hundreds of volumes of the Noble Book of Quran. So, for example, the Noble Book of Quran talks about the fact that the Muslims need to say 5 daily prayers. But if the Quran wanted to refer to all the details of 5 daily prayers, maybe 2-3 volumes should be added only for just one responsibility, that is the prayer. So the explanations of the verses come through the narrations of the infallible.
That's right.
The same is true about Hajj, about fasting. This is only about Islamic and religious laws.
Okay.
Let's go about the Islamic plan for life in terms of politics, for example.
Yes.
The Quran refers to some principles.
That's right.
And then through the narrations, we are able to understand the complete version of, for example, Islamic type of government.
That's right.
And so on and so forth.
That's right.
So the main responsibility, if we may put it this way, of the Noble Book of Quran is just to refer to fundamental points and instructions which are needed for the guidance of the human beings. The interpretations come through the narrations of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wassalam.
And you know, it's really difficult because since we as ordinary Muslims, you know, read out the text of the Holy Quran to benefit spiritually from that. But when you go to an alim who is a mufassir of the Holy Quran or his book, you know, now the deep layers are disclosed for you and
definitely.
You go, wow, what is my understanding of the text of the Holy Quran? What is an alim? And now compare it to an imam.
Mm-hmm.
For example, imam asks, may Allah hasten his reappearance, comes and reappears, and give us the true interpretations of the verses and the ayahs of the Holy Quran. What about that time?
Yeah,
you know?
That's a very good point. And with your point, let me refer to whether we need today's interpreters of the Noble Book of Quran or not. Yes, we do, because of the fact that, first of all, these interpreters of these mufassirin, the scholars of interpretation, they go through the narrations to give us, the understanding of the Quran. They are not just giving their personal understanding of the Quran. And second of all, we have a gap of time between us and the time of the revelation. So we are in need of some scholars because when it comes to some words, some Arabic words which are in the Noble Book of Quran, they are not that much common in Arabic language nowadays.
That's right.
There is a kind of this difference between the spoken Arabic language today and the Arabic language of the Quran. We
That's
have
right.
some differences.
Okay.
So this gap also requires some scholars to come and explain the words based on the books which were written, few decades after the revelation of the Noble Book of Quran. So when we put together all these points, we come to this conclusion that the Noble Book of Quran is a book of guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever takes the Noble Book of Quran, he cannot say that I have no idea what this book is all about.
Yes.
I cannot understand anything. No, this is, again, because unfortunately we have had some minorities among Muslims who claim that without narrations we have no idea of what Quran is all about. No, this is absolutely rejected.
It is easy to understand, you know.
Yeah, whoever takes the Noble Book of Quran and recites, he come to a kind of understanding of the Noble Book of Quran. But is it the comprehensive understanding
of the
Quran?
Ultimate, you know, understanding,
no.
Yes.
The Quran says that for a kind of comprehensive understanding, you are in need of the Prophet, you are in need of the infallibles to come on and explain the deeper layers of the meanings.
And I think this is another miracle of the Holy Quran, that everybody from different classes, different types of knowledge, you know, refers to the Holy Quran, understand this. You know, if even for example, the most illiterate people who only knows can read out the Arabic text, referring to the got some lessons, the most high outstanding scholars and ulama, for example, like Allama Tabatabai, Al-Mizan Aziz of the Holy Quran, refers to that, and then deep layers are disclosed.
And what confirmed your point is that no interpreter of the Quran has ever claimed that this interpretation of mine
is the most complete
the
one.
Most complete
yes,
one.
Yes.
Even Allama Tabatabai has not claimed that. We cannot claim that Al-Mizan is the most complete one. The way and the door is open for contemporary scholars and future scholars to come and explain more the verses based on their new findings.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Karimi, for a nice elaboration regarding the text of the Holy Quran, the book of guidance for the Muslims, and what is the need to the exegetes or the interpreters of the Holy Quran, how they can help us in order to more understand the text and the layers of the Holy Quran. It was very kind of you, and thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. Do not forget to visit our website at parstoday.com/en/Call of Islam page. Another episode. God bless you all. Fi amanallah. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan. Li aliyin wa husayin wa hasan.
الآن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
In the limelight.
Britain's cost of living crisis is worsening with food price inflation at its highest level since the 2008 financial crisis. The sharp rise in prices is pushing up the average annual household bill as Britain's poor struggle to pay rising energy bills. Despite the relative decrease in the inflation index last month, for the month of August in England, statistics show that volume of retail sales decreased more than expected during this period, and this is a sign that England is moving towards economic recession. We are prepared for you a look at some of the world media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The Reuters news agency writes, Britain's economy grew by less than expected in July, raising the risk that it is already in a recession, with the sharp climb in energy tariffs hurting demand for electricity and a leap in the cost of materials hitting the construction sector. Recent official data showed with inflation at a 40-year high of more than 10%, gross domestic product or GDP expanded by 0.2% from June, weaker than a median forecast of 0.4%. In the 3 months to July, gross domestic product was flat compared with the previous three-month period. Some economists said recent data suggested the economy might be on course to shrink in the July-September period, having contracted by 0.1% in the April to June quarter. Jake Finney, an economist at PwC, said, "This would mean that Britain enters a technical recession for the first time since lockdown restrictions ended." Paul Dales at Capital Economics said, "A disappointingly small rebound in real gross domestic product in July suggests that the economy has little momentum and is probably already in recession." In August, the Bank of England forecast a recession for the world's fifth biggest economy, lasting from end of 2022 until early 2024, due in large part to a hit to living standards from energy prices pushed up by the war in Ukraine. But recently, new UK Prime Minister Liz Truss announced a cap on domestic energy tariffs, which, along with an expected round of tax cuts, reduces the risk of such a protracted hit to Britain's economy, albeit at a cost of £100 billion, or $116 billion, or more to Britain's already stretched public finances. The Office for National Statistics, the ONS, said anecdotal evidence suggested that the surge in power prices was changing consumer behaviour and demand for energy had fallen. Separate trade figures also showed the impact of soaring prices, with the value of imports of fuel hitting an all-time high of £11 billion in the month of July and representing a record 21% of all goods imported into Britain. The Financial Times also reports on the same story. Sterling slid to its lowest level since 1985 against the US dollar on Friday, 16th of September, after a round of weaker-than-expected data on UK retail sales amplified concerns that the country was headed for a prolonged recession. The pound dropped as much as 1% to 1.135 per dollar, the first time it has breached the 1.14 mark in almost four decades. It rose back to just above $1.14 in New York trading, but remains down almost 16% in 2022. The currency's sharp decline reflects a broad rally this year in the dollar, as well as particular concerns over Britain's economy. Sterling was off about 0.5% on Friday against the euro at 1.141 euros, leaving it down about 4% this year. According to data published on Friday, 16th of September, by the Office for National Statistics, retail sales fell sharply in August as British consumers struggled with soaring prices and high energy costs. The quantity of goods bought in the UK fell 1.6% between July and August, reversing a small expansion in the previous month. This was a larger drop than the 0.5% contraction forecast by economists polled by Reuters news agency and the latest fall since July 2021, when COVID-19 restrictions on hospitality were lifted. Olivia Cross, economist at Capital Economics, said the figure suggested that the downward momentum is gathering speed and supported her view that the economy is already in recession. The Office of National Statistics said that rising prices and cost of living pressures were affecting sales volumes, which have continued the downward trend since the summer of 2021, following the reopening of the economy after pandemic lockdowns. The figures highlighted how high inflation has hit consumers and a wider economy. The government's £150 billion energy support package announced this month is expected to limit the blow from the recent surge in gas prices, but it did not dispel the risk of a recession. Victoria Scholar, head of the investment at Interactive Investor, said the fact that the sterling fell against both the US dollar and the euro on Friday showed that is not a dollar move, but in fact, it is traders selling the pound amid negative sentiment towards Britain's economic outlook and investment case. The website of Turkey's Anadolu news agency covers the same story but from a different angle. A think tank said in its report British households' spending power is expected to be slashed by an average of £3,000 by the end of the year as living standards drop by the largest margin in a century. The report prepared by the Resolution Foundation, an independent think tank focused on improving living standards for those on low to middle incomes, said that household incomes are expected to fall by 10% this year as well as in next year. This means real earnings would fall at the fastest rate since 1997 and that by mid-2023, real pay growth since 2003 would be erased. Together, the number of those in absolute poverty would increase by as much as 3 million. The Resolution Foundation said that these estimates already include the government's existing £30 billion package to support, announced in March. Inflation in Britain is now in the double digits, 10.1%, in its highest level in the past 40 years, driven mainly by surging energy prices. The think tank called for tens of billions of pounds of further government support. Lalitha Tri, a researcher at the Resolution Foundation, said that the future of British living standards looked terrifying. She said typical households are on course to see their real incomes fall by £3,000 over the next 2 years. The biggest squeeze is at least a century, while 3 million extra people could fall into the poverty trap. No responsible government could accept such an outlook, so radical policy action is required to address it. We're going to need an energy support package worth tens of billions of pounds, completed with increasing benefits next year for October's inflation rate. Lalitha Tri added, the new Prime Minister also needs to improve Britain's longer-term outlook, which can only be achieved by a new economic strategy that delivers higher productivity and strong growth.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل
فرج. السلام عليكم and welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I really welcome you all, and respected brothers and sisters, here is again Ali Nasser with me, and Fawad Haider. So we're very happy that we, inshallah, today we're going to have another class of our Quranic classes. So, in this session, inshallah, again, we're going to work on some of the verses of the Quranic Kareem from Surah Al-Baqarah. And we will be explaining some of the explanations, some of the meanings of the verses of the Quranic Kareem. And also, especially, we will work on the tajweed rules practically on the verses of the Quranic Kareem. So, Ali Nasir and Fawad Haider, if you're ready, let's recite a salawat and start our class.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa'ajil
faraj. Okay, today I will work on verse number 6 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Innal ladhina kafaru, and up to verse number 10, Fi qulubihim maradun. Okay, inshallah, let's listen to these verses of the Quran Kareem.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون ختم الله على قلوبهم وعلى سمعهم وعلى ولهم عذاب عظيم ومن الناس من يقول آمنا بالله وباليوم الآخر وما هم بمؤمنين يقادعون الله والذين آمنوا وما يخدعون إلا أنفسهم وما
Okay, great. Alhamdulillah, nice recitation. Let's recite it together, okay? I will recite once and you should repeat after me, all right? So,
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم
إن الذين كفروا سواء عليهم
سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون
سواء عليهم أأنذرتهم أم لم تنذرهم لا يؤمنون.
So in these verses of the Quran Kareem, Allah Almighty is describing those people who are disbelievers, okay? Those people who have no faith in Islam and in the oneness of Allah Almighty, okay? So basically, Allah Almighty is describing them this way, that, O Prophet, if you, trying to warn these people who have no faith, or even if you do not warn them, it's just one case for them. They will never accept it. Okay? And there to whom if you warn, and lam tunzirhum if you do not warn them, if you do not like announce the result of their kufr, okay, in the day of judgment, okay? Even if you do not say nothing, it's equal for them, it's the same for them. And there to am lam tunzirhum la yu'minun, they will
never
not have faith, they will not believe. Okay, so then Allah Almighty says that, so this is the result of their kufr. Now, Fawad Haider and Ali Nasir, let's go for the tajweed rules, inshallah, okay? and also recitation. Ready, inshallah?
Yes.
Okay, let's recite a salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Jalfaraj.
I talk too much. Maybe our friends are kind of sleeping now, okay? Let's recite a loud salawat.
Allahumma
salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ala Jalfaraj. So in the first ayah, inna alladhina kafaru, we have inna, right?
Yes.
Hamza e has to be pronounced correctly. Do not get it wrong, okay? It's not ayin sound. E, inna. Exactly like the letter A in English, or the letter E, yes? Or the letter I.
Yes.
Ink, an, English. So they start with e sound. Make sure, okay, you pronounce it correctly. Then noon has a tashdeed. Whenever we have noon mushaddad, there is like a ghunna sound, yes? And you have to prolong it for two counts.
Yes.
For what? Recite it. Inna al-ladhina. Great. Ladhina dhal has to be pronounced correctly. And then there is a yamad ladhina. Inna al-ladhina. It's wrong. Inna al-ladhina. Oh, everyone. Inna al-ladhina. Fawad?
Inna alladhina.
Ahsan, mashallah.
Qur'ani fi qalbi dawman yaghmurni min faydhi dhiya ayatul mawla.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents
Walkawnul wasi'u fi sadri.
Let's recite the Quran.
One thing I have to tell you, that you don't have to be scared of kind of recitation, okay? There are people who are scared. They do not let their voice come out. Okay, your vocal, practice on your vocals, okay? Inna alladhina. If you do not let your voice come out, okay, it will stuck there and you will be no longer able to kind of recite correctly, and you will go out of breath during recitation. Let it come out, okay? Just take it easy. It's okay. No one is gonna punish you or kind of blame you. Okay, why are you so loud? Nothing. No, just recite it. Inna alladhina. Go on, louder.
Inna alladhina.
Ahsan, masha, it's better. Kafaru sawa'un. Sawa'un, there is a mad. We have alif mad. Then we have hamza. What type of mad is it?
Wajib muttasil.
Wajib muttasil fawad, not jayiz munfasil. Why? Because hamza and harf al mad both are in the same word. Sawa'un, it's one word. It means equal, the same. So, sawa'un, for six counts or five counts, yes?
Yes.
Inna alladhina kafaru sawa'un. Go on. One, two, three, go on, recite it.
Inna alladhina kafaru sawa'un.
Ahsan, alayhim, mashallah. Alayhim, the pronunciation of ayn, be careful, okay? Ayn, alayhim, not alayhim. Alayhim, maybe it has another meaning because it's hamza. Alayhim. It's not like Persian or something, yeah? From the top part of your throat, okay? But in the middle part, sorry. But with an sound. Remember kind of you're biting, you really want to bite an apple, okay? A yummy apple you want to bite. Yeah, you open your mouth, big one, kind of. I want to take a bite, okay? That's the sound of ayn.
Yes.
I want to eat an apple. Practice this, okay? You can figure out how ayn sounds like. Hamza is okay? Ayn. Next one. Sawa'un alayhim. Ha. The pronunciation of the letter ha has to be a soft ha. Okay,
light.
Just breathe out. Yes, a light one. Ha. Let's reset up to this part.
Inna alladhina kafaru sawa'un alayhim. Inna alladhina kafaru sawa'un alayhim.
Ahsan, alayhim, great. The next word is a bit difficult because two Hamza sounds are there, okay? Hamza and Ayn, they are difficult. Noon, Sakin, plus Thal from the rest of the letters. What rule is applied?
Ikhfa.
Hide the sound of Noon. أأنذرتهم. Recite it, both of you. أأنذرتهم. أحسن. Next one. أم لم تنذرهم. Recite it again. إخفاء. Yes. تنذرهم. إخفاء. أم لم تنذرهم.
أم لم تنذرهم.
أحسن. أأنذر. را is pronounced heavily because there is a fatha sound before. تنذرهم. There is a كسرة sound before. Yes. It is lightly pronounced.
Yes.
لا يؤمنون. Yeah. يؤمنون همزة. That's not واو. همزة. Okay. It's همزة but on the top of واو. So همزة has only one form. That form you see, okay? Like the head of the letter عين. But it just appears either on the top of alif, beneath alif, or on the top of واو, on the top of ya. So it can come anywhere. But not on the top of ba, on the top of lam, okay? So these three حروف المد, همزة will be on the top of them, okay?
Yes.
So let's recite this ayah once again, inshallah. In the next session, we'll continue towards the practical rules of, tajweed rules of the next ayahs, okay? Ayat or verses.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا سَوَاءٌ عَلَيْهِمْ
أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ
أَأَنذَرْتَهُمْ أَمْ لَمْ تُنذِرْهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ
صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ
أحسن. Thank you so much. Let's recite a salawat and also give thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Xavier International Schools Network. Inshallah, we'll be back. Stay with us. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraj.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
England's Paradise Wildlife Park welcomes its new guest, an endangered red panda cub. The mother, Tilly, gave birth to the cub just 1 month after she lost her breeding partner, Nampang. Experts say Tilly had been under a breeding project for 4 years. The cub has been named Little Red, and his birth is being celebrated as a, quote, symbol of hope. Red pandas are classed as an endangered species and are on the red list of the International Union for Conservation of Nature. The bushy-tailed bamboo munchers dwell in high-altitude Asian forests, and their population is now fewer than 2,500. Chinese astronauts are celebrating their first ever mid-autumn festival in outer space while sharing their otherworldly experience with people on Earth. The crew had a close-up view of the moon from China's Tiangong space station and their third month in space. On the occasion, the ground crew organized a series of celebrations, including a family reunion for the astronauts. The ground crew also prepared elaborate food packages that had been prepared before the launch of the spacecraft. Typically, the traditional festival is kicked off by the first viewing of the full moon on the 15th day of the eighth month of the lunar calendar. Despite being able to see the moon rise and set 16 times a day, the astronauts say the moon is special on this occasion. Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice, and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals. Most of the time, you have to visit an exhibition to see art. But what if art comes to see you instead? Well, a group of artists in Mali have created a floating art venue that will travel up and down the River Niger. It's called the Pirogue du Zem, which is a floating vessel. It's designed to host plays, exhibitions, dance shows, and so much more. The idea is to make art a movable feast that is no longer restricted to fixed venues in cities and accessible to all people. The project was created by a local artist and architect who had a vision to bring art to the masses. The vessel is 20 meters long and 6 meters wide, built with storage and enough space for exhibition. Government officials say the floating venue will showcase Mali's talents and creativity while attracting tourists.
Colombia is known for its tourist attractions and is full of breathtaking natural sights such as beaches, mountains, deserts, and forests. The South American nation is also one of the few places that give tourists the chance to have an encounter with whales. Every year, from July to October, domestic and foreign tourists flock to Colombia's Pacific coast to catch a glimpse of humpback whales. The large animals reach the coast after traveling thousands of kilometers from Antarctica and southern Chile. But for visitors, there are strict rules to help preserve the area and the whales. Tourists are now being welcomed for whale watching after a two-year hiatus due to the coronavirus pandemic. This is also the time when humpback whales start their reproductive process. Art restoration requires intensive research and training and loads of skill. But imagine the anxiety while professionals embark on restoring rare paintings. Under careful supervision, French restorers are working to give back to 500-year-old paintings their former glory. They were rescued from a fire that engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris in 2019. These works date back from the 17th and early 18th century. The paintings, including 22 with large format, were temporarily stored in a warehouse and now being restored at an undisclosed location. The fire caused strictly no damage to the paintings, but they have accumulated thick layers of dirt and smoke on the surface after hanging in the cathedral for centuries. Some of the works also have paint loss due to overcleaning that restorers say need to be repaired elegantly.
Africa is taking back some of its greatest treasures stolen by the British back in the 19th century. The Horniman Museum in London has agreed to return the artifacts to Nigeria. These are 72 relics, which include 12 highly treasured brass plaques known as the Benin Bronzes. The bronzes are a group of several thousand metal plaques and sculptures that decorated the royal palace of the once mighty kingdom of Benin since the 16th century. These artifacts were looted from a region in modern-day Nigeria in a British military incursion. They later ended up in museums in Europe and the U.S. African countries have been fighting to recover works pillaged by explorers and colonizers as Western institutions grapple with the cultural legacy of colonialism.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Illegal hunting and hybridization with American crocodiles have for decades threatened their populations, with some species being on the verge of extinction. But there are some people who put their lives at risk to save the natural heritage. A Cuban researcher has released a baby crocodile that was confiscated from illegal hunters back into the wild. It was a happy moment for Etienne Perez, who went waist-deep in the dark water of Zapata Swamp to free Cuban crocs, the smallest known range of any living crocodile species. Cuban scientists were racing for quite some time to save the rarest crocodile. The government has protected virtually all of the vast swamp, widely considered to be the best preserved in the Caribbean. But the scientists say more efforts are needed to save the nature.
Releasing crocodiles seized from poachers is really impressive because we return the animal to a free life in the wild. In the case of the animals in the hatchery, we are trying to increase the historical range of the Cuban crocodile and, of course, increase the number of these individuals in the wild.
Cuban scientists estimate that around 4,000 crocodiles continue to live in the wild. But because the area they prefer within the wetland is relatively small, a climate-related disaster, increasingly common now globally, could wipe out the brunt of the population. They say illegal hunting for decades is also threatening crocodile populations. A wide range of cutting-edge digital technology is grabbing the limelight at the 2022 China International Fair for Trade in Services, which is underway in Beijing. The exhibition is featuring a wide range of products, including artificial intelligence, virtual reality, metaverse, and 5G. Visitors can be seen taking virtual reality driving lessons and enjoying scenarios, including different road and weather conditions, wearing VR kits. It's the leading and largest comprehensive fair for trade and services in China. This year, an increasing number of traditional service companies are speeding up their transformations, resorting to smart technologies. The event has set up 9 thematic exhibitions, including cultural and tourism services, education and sports services, hygiene and health services, engineering, consulting, and environmental services. Foam is fun to play with, particularly for kids, but when it's mixed with art, it also becomes a grown-up matter. And that's what a German artist has done, creating a sea of rainbow-colored foam as an interactive art piece and allowing the audience to enjoy themselves and become part of the art. Colors mixed by Stephanie Luning were turned into rainbow-hued foam cascading down the stairs. The performance was called Island of Foam, version 18. Excited children jumped in as soon as the bubbly sea reached the base of the stairs, delighted to be playing in the rainbow playground. The art piece is made up of largely of water and a food coloring. The artist says she loves working in public spaces and reaching a broad audience of all ages.
Because I like to be surprised by the result myself, and I like to work with this that you never know how it's going to turn out. You have the wind, the weather conditions, the locations, the audience. You never know how the people are going to respond and how the artwork turns out. And that's really what I like a lot, and also how to reach a broad audience.
However, Stephanie says there's tons of work behind all the fun, and cleaning up the mess can be hard. Interactive art is a form of art that achieves its purpose by involving the audience. The immersive art piece is part of the Greenwich and Docklands International Festival, an annual festival of performing arts and outdoor theater. Have you ever heard of fighting nature with nature? Well, that's what the San Francisco Metro system in the U.S. did to stop pigeons from overrunning the place. The station has hired a hawk as the new guard to patrol the area. Pac-Man is a 5-year-old Harris's hawk who has taken up the perch at the station. In terms of experience, he is pretty new, as he finished training only 9 months ago. The station recently renovated its building, installing netting and spikes to prevent pigeons from nesting. But these birds still seem to find their way to hang around. So with the Falconer Force, Ricky Ortiz and his hawk were hired this summer to keep the pigeons at bay.
So a typical day is we get here, we make our round, we start off down in the bottom inside the facility, making sure there's no pigeons hanging out in there. And then we work our way up here to the platforms and just check the ledges and the roof and make sure that they're not trying to sneak in on us, and keep them out. And he does a pretty good job of that.
The team patrols 3 days a week, and Pac-Man is allowed to swoop in and scare any pigeons sitting around. The Falconer says less than half of the pigeons they left after the first week of Pac-Man flying and establishing the territory. Commuters and station managers say they also noticed the difference. The Falconer says he usually keeps his feathery friend happy on the job by giving him snacks throughout the day. This also encourages the hawk not to feast on the pigeons and local rodents.
IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
the UK says Saudi Arabia is